You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 1, where we left off last time. Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 1. Before we began, you invited to join me right here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud teaching, for fervent prayer for America's Day of Repentance and Praise. And then I offer to pray for everyone here. I pray for the sick, bring your sick loved ones. You're also invited to come here each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, and SoundCloud teaching. I am in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The beautiful, Christian, amazing produce place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. Scott did not pay me to say that. I'm at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth. And every Christian in America is invited, right where you are in all 50 states, to join me on Sunday, April 3rd, anytime that day, in your own state, in your own platform, for America's Day of Repentance and Praise. I want every Christian in America, right where you are, in your own place, to pray and do 2 Chronicles 7:14, because that is the answer. That is the solution, America. The politicians can't do it. Only God can do it. But God promises, He'll hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sins. He'll heal our land. Now, after you lead your people in prayer, politicians, preachers, radio, television, internet, social, media, Christian organizations, wherever you are there, after you lead them, call out the sins one by one, then praise the Lord. Let there be a praise all over America, for God inhabits the praises of His people. And now, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, are you neglecting so great salvation one, salvation two, salvation three? Are you neglecting so great salvation one, salvation two, salvation three?
Verse one, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
Paul is writing this, and he says, you should pay strict attention, more earnest heed, but pay strict attention to what I just wrote you in chapter 1. Well, let's pay strict attention to what did he write? God has only one begotten Son, and by that Son were all things made that are made. And that Son is upholding up everything by the word of His power. And that only begotten Son is the head of all powers, principality, above all angels. And that only begotten Son baptizes His ministers, His servants. It doesn't mean a preacher or anything. Anyone serving Him with a flame of fire. Zechariah calls you a firebrand. And then that only begotten Son gives His firebrands holy angels to protect them. Pay strict attention to that. So let's pay strict attention to every word of God. Because in Matthew 4, Jesus says, man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let's pay strict attention to Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Okay, the doctor gives you a bad report. Are you paying strict attention to the bad report of the doctor? Are you paying strict attention to the fact that with Jesus' stripes you are healed? Which one's getting your your most attention. Okay, about your job. That business is so busy, it's such a burden. Are you paying strict attention to the burden, to the business aggravation of it, the trauma of it? Are you paying attention to the fact that my God operates through you and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you?
Amen.
You need money. Are you paying attention to the fact that your bank account's dwindling there? Are you paying attention to what God says about biblical economics? Are you paying attention to the fact that America's been conquered by communist, socialist, Marxism, the political system of Antichrist? Are you paying attention to 2 Chronicles 7:14? Pay strict attention to the Word of God. Christian, everything in your life, 24/7, run it by the Word. Everything about you is supposed to be led by the Word of God.
Amen.
Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels were steadfast.
Steadfast means fixed, and that's it. That's the truth. Now, angels did not write the word of God. These are not seraphims and cherubims he's talking about. Remember, we learned that one of the meanings of angels are children of God. Well, we read a good word that was written by even this Apostle Paul in Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wow, that's big. Can't change that, can you?
And if every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward.
Oh my goodness, since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, what is the reward? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. What if there were no salvation? Then everybody would have to die the death of the soul and walk into the lake of fire. What if, what if, what if? But you know what the rest of that Romans 6:23 is? But. Thank you, God, for the buts. Yes. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?
Salvation means redemption, redeemed. Well, how could we escape if there were not any kind of a salvation? But there is, because Jesus paid our sin debt. And if we confess our sins and truly repent, not just say it with our mouth, but actually stop, turn from it, and believe in him, we can be saved. So that's how we would escape. Now, salvation has many meanings. Now, this is salvation number one, redemption. But we're going to hear more about redemption. In the name of Jesus, be healed, be healed, be healed. Peace be still. Oh, for all of you out there, I got the anointing here. You're going to hear about healing today, so we put it in practice, okay? Amen. Always have to practice what I'm teaching.
Which at first began to be spoken by the Lord.
What did he mean by first? Well, last time we had a teaching, 2 Peter 3:6-7. The world that then was, the first earth age. Remember, we learned there are three of them. We're in the second one now. In that first earth age, even before Lucifer, Isaiah 14, first earth age, Satan, devil, dragon, said, I will be God, and brought sin into the equation, the Lord already knew that Lucifer was going to sin. God is the Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. He's the beginning and the end. God knows everything from beginning to end. Now, we were all there with God, remember? Ecclesiastes 12:6-7. Ere you die, if the silver cord breaks, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Every human being now, coming and going, ever been, was laid a spirit body. But Revelation 12 says 1/3 of God's children, maybe some of you, betrayed God and followed that old Lucifer, that old dragon. That was sin. God already knew that. He knows everything from beginning to end. And even before that happened, Jesus stepped up to the plate and said, 1 Peter 1:19-20, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb slain, without spot, without blemish, foreordained before the foundation of the world. Foundation, Greek, in other words, catabole, Satan's rebellion, before Lucifer even brought sin into the equation, before God's children sinned, he already had that plan of redemption. He made a way. He came and died on a cross. That's why he said, let us make man our image. He sent us all out one time, generation after generation, with a memory forgotten, to either accept Jesus. He would come to anybody, pay our sin debt, and we could be saved. He died on a cruel cross. They pierced him there. He shed his blood. But he arose. And now, how can we escape so great salvation, number one? Well, you have to be saved. So, are you saved? You say, well, I believe in Jesus. I'm listening to you, Sherry. Wait a minute. Some of you say, I think I'm saved. There are people all over the world listening to this. Some of you are not saved. Let me ask you something. If somebody moved into your house beside your regular family, would you know they'd moved in?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Somebody would say, look, there's somebody in the kitchen, somebody in the bathroom, there's in. Well, 1 Corinthians, Paul says, you are the temple of the living God. If you are saved, Christ lives in you, and you would know it. So if you don't know it, are you saved? All over the world, are you saved? Let's pray this prayer and get you salvation number one so you will not escape that great salvation. Here we go. Pray this after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Father, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I stop them right now.
I stop them right now.
I quit.
I quit.
I change.
I change.
I'll never go there again.
I'll never go there again.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Save me.
Save me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, if you pray that, you have escaped. In other words, you are now saved, and you now are redeemed, and now you're okay, salvation one. But there are two more.
I was confirmed to us by them that heard him.
Paul says those people wrote this. That would be Peter and James and John and Matthew and Mark and Luke. That's how we found out that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. We found that out in the Bible, says Paul.
Verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles.
Now here comes salvation number two. The miracles and signs and wonders happen in Acts chapter 2 in the upper room at what is called Pentecost. Jesus had told his disciples, wait in Jerusalem, go into that upper room, and wait for the promise of the Father. Now, they didn't know what that was, but it was the Holy Spirit. So they waited up there, and in the congregation were people there who spoke every language in the world, and everybody was waiting. And all of a sudden, there was a gushing wind, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Spirit's name in the manuscript is Holy Ruach, the Holy Wind. And the Holy Ruach came and landed on every head in the upper room. Cloven tongues of fire, the fire of Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 4:11, John the Baptist says, there's one coming after me who will baptize you with fire, the baptism of fire. Some years ago in my school in Cocoa, Laura Stevens, Scott Mercer, and I were having a fervent prayer meeting. I believe at that time we were praying that President Donald Trump would be elected the first time because we knew God had sent him. God answered that prayer. But all of a sudden, there was a gushing wind there. The weather was fine. I had dropped ceiling tiles, and we looked up, and the tiles were going up and down. It was the rushing of a mighty, mighty wind.
Amen. Amen.
Now that is salvation number two. Do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you have that? Okay, let's pray for that. Why do you need that? Because you can't live the Christian life without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, this is why so many Christians love the Lord, but you never have victory. You never get anybody saved or healed. You don't have victory. You don't know how to fight the devil. Jesus says, after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you have power over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and serpents, devils and demons. And so, therefore, you don't know how to live the Christian life. You love the Lord, but you don't have the victory. So you need the baptism. So, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, oh, Holy Spirit, you search the hearts. Go into the hearts of all the people all over the world. Morocco there, Peru. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All of the places in the world. Africa, Canada, Chile, all over America. Everybody in here. Any heart that's open or receptive, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fire, 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 fall in Jesus' name. Be filled, be filled, be filled in Jesus' name. Now, that's salvation number two. You don't want to neglect that one because you cannot live the Christian life without it. You'll be saved, but you will not bear any fruit. And you won't even know anything about how to live the Christian life.
And gifts of Holy Spirit, according to his own will.
Now this proves that the Apostle Paul was used to write this. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Holy Spirit through Paul said, the Holy Spirit gives gifts severally as he will. He divides them. That cloven tongue of fire made a divided tongue, all kind of tongues, and the fire, God is a consuming fire. When a person has the baptism, Christ paints himself on you. So if you are sanctified, which is salvation number two with a fire baptism, then the fire is on you, and then you have power. Okay, what are those gifts? This is salvation number three. The gifts of Holy Spirit, why do you need them? To help other people. Okay. He gives a gift of the word of wisdom. This means that when someone, man, woman, boy, or girl, speaks the word of God, they know what it means. Oh, you read the Bible, you say, what does that mean? The word of wisdom flashes it to you, uncovers it, and out comes that. That is the gift of Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom. Then he gives the gift of the word of knowledge. This is when you're praying for someone, like I was just praying for our happy birthday girl, Valera. The Holy Spirit took over and spoke to Valera, her destiny and all that be provided, that she's called, chosen, elected, and that she's anointed, and he spoke it. He read her mail. Sometimes the word of knowledge will say, I see that there's something a little, something out of order in your back there, and that's to pray for them. I see that some says something being blocked to you. This is a beautiful gift. It's the word of knowledge. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, on a firebrand, but you have to be a firebrand, gives you the gift of faith. Now, all of you had to have some kind of faith to get saved. You've never seen the blood, but you believe it. But you don't have faith to believe you're going to be healed. You don't have faith to believe that that business is going to finally be easy. You don't have faith to believe that America can be saved. So the Holy Spirit gives the gift of faith. How does he do that? Well, all firebrands hear the word of God. And Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In the Greek, it means faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God, hearing the word of God, hearing the word of God, hearing the word of God over and over and over. And the more you hear the word, the Holy Spirit brings it quick to you, and faith rises up in you. and then you can move mountains. Okay. Mm. So we got the word of wisdom, we got the word of knowledge, we got the gift of faith. The Holy Spirit gives the gift of discernment of spirits. Now the Holy Spirit, of course, Shalemah, right now, Holy Spirit, His left hand under your head, His right hand embrace you. Those of you who are alert, who have the baptism, you know that's the Holy Spirit. You understand that. In the name of Jesus, stop sneezing. Allergies be gone in Jesus' name. Peace be still. He sent His word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay. Well, we're practicing what we preach here. Okay. All right. But there are other spirits. The first epistle of John, I believe it's chapter 4, he says the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. The Antichrist is the devil pretending to be Jesus. He's not here himself yet. He's the second beast of Revelation 13. But his demonic spirits are here right now. Now, they're all over the place. They've captured America, communism, socialism, Marxism. Do you know the difference? When the Antichrist comes here, he's going to call himself Christ. Will you know whether it's the Holy Spirit or whether it's the Antichrist spirit? Sometimes demons come in piggyback in churches. They do it here periodically. They don't last very long because you know when it destroys the yoke. Amen. So when we're all praying here, after we go off over the air Wednesday night, do you hear whether it's the Holy Spirit praying through a person? It's not judging. You're supposed to discern that. Or is that a demon praying through that person to subtly try to take control? Do you know the difference? It's very important that you do, because while there are angels all around, the demons of hell have been loosed all over the world. Amen. And they're everywhere, and you need to know that. You have power over them after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. If you've got the fire of baptism, you've got the power, but you have to cast them out. Okay. And then we have the gift of healing. Okay. All right. We anoint with oil in the name of the Lord, James 5, 13, 16. The oil is the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. These signs follow them that believe. Mark says this. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. But you can't do it without being a firebrand. You can't do it without the baptism. Some of you are so sweet. You visit sick people, you love them, you fluff their pillows, you bring them food, but you never get them healed. Your job is not only to help them, get them saved and get them healed. That's why you were sent there. And therefore, when the Holy Spirit comes on a firebrand, sickness cannot stay. In the name of Jesus, sickness, you have to go. Be gone in Jesus' name. Peace be still. He sent His word and healed you and delivered you from your destruction. He restores health and cure to you, heals you of your wounds. He brings it health and cure. Peace be still. Son of righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. And then the Holy Spirit gives the gift of the working of miracles. I've been healed of cancer twice. It took a lot of praying, a lot of time. But when I was healed both times, it was an instant miracle. A friend and I went to a hospital. The man was lost and told my friend he was lost. He was going to die. He was dying. We got there. They wouldn't let us in. The priest had given him his last rites. The Holy Spirit made a way. We went in. But nobody was on us. We read the word of God, recited it, prayed for him. He opened his eyes and received Jesus. That's a miracle. Amen. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, while my eyes are blind, I have perfect hearing. Something happened suddenly. I mean, boom. I knew when it happened. The devil made me totally deaf for 12 solid days. 12 in the name of God. He was trying to put me out. Well, I did the right thing. I prayed. I prayed the word. I believed. I taught 3 of these lessons without being able to hear anything. What little bit I could hear of myself only, I sounded like a chipmunk. But guess what? On the 3rd time, I was getting dressed to come out and teach and praying to God I'd be able to do it. Boom! My ears were open. That's a miracle. Amen. Miracles still happen. Yeah. But you can only have them. The only reason it ever happened was the Holy Spirit. He did it. And the Holy Spirit gives the gift of speaking in tongues. Everybody stay tuned. I know you run from this one. This is so important. It's a language. It's the language of the Holy spirit. When those cloven tongues of fire sat on those disciples in the upper room, the cloven means divided tongues. They began to speak. Acts 2, and as I said, there were people there of every nationality in the world. And everybody heard what they said. They heard them declare the wonderful works of God in their own language. You need the gift of speaking in tongues. It is not gibberish, it's language of the Holy Spirit. And here's why, two reasons why. When the Antichrist appears, we're on the threshold of his coming, the devil pretend to be Jesus. Everybody in the world is going to worship him. Revelation 13, and half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, the foolish virgins. Only God's elect, the five wise virgins, half of God's body on Christ, will not worship him. The elect are going to be delivered up to him. Matthew 24, Luke 12, Luke 21. And Jesus says, we elect, you elect, are to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us. And he says the whole world, in their own language, will hear whatever the Holy Spirit speaks. They will hear it in French, the Germans will hear it, Hebrews, Greek, Spanish, English, all kinds of nationalities, they will hear it. Now, Jesus also says in Luke 12, Matthew 24, if an elect does not let the Holy Spirit speak in that language, that is the unpardonable sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and you've lost your salvation. It can never, ever be forgiven. Now, that ought to make you seek that one. But there's another great reason. Romans 8, 26 says, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit will intercede for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered, that we pray according to Father's will. See, you pray to the best of your ability for yourself, so you'll serve God. You pray for other people because you love them. But see, the Holy Spirit searches inside of them. The Holy Spirit knows what your problem really is. It might not even be your business. It might not even be your mate. It might not even be your job. It might not even be money. It might be something else. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with groanings. And let him do that. And every morning of my life, or I can't even remember how many years, just it's a part of my ministry. I come out here early in the morning, hours. I call out hundreds and hundreds of people by name. If you've ever spoken to me, your name's there. This goes on. I call out every name. I pray good things from God's word for everybody. But every now and then, almost every day, the Holy Spirit will stop me over some names, and he will start speaking in the language, in the language, in the language. I let him speak. I do not ask for interpretation, which is also the ninth gift of the Holy Spirit, because I'm not nosy. I know the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I'll feel the Holy Spirit fighting for that person. Other times I'll feel the Holy Spirit saying, if you don't do what God tells you to do, this is your last chance. I'll hear and feel that. So you see, you need to know that. The tongues is an absolute essential one. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, breathe on your people. Fall on them now, Father God. Not only baptize them with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give gifts severally as you will. You know to whom to give what gift. The third salvation, the gifts of Holy Spirit, fall on you in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you neglecting so great salvation one, redemption, salvation two, sanctification, the baptism of fire, salvation three, operating in the gifts of Holy Spirit? I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry. What an awesome word tonight. That was awesome.
Awesome word.
Doing the word.
To equip the body of Christ. By the way,
Amen.
Body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, when you're in a group, it's best not to use that language because it could cause confusion. Somebody lost might be in there, and you don't want to confuse them. But in your private time, yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Amen.
Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Matthew 7:24.
Absolutely Amen. Perfect. Amen. Oh, back in the Song of Solomon, the Shulamite would have said, you have dove's eyes. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Great, Scott. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, we've already prayed the prayer of salvation all over the world. All of you out there, confession is made to salvation, Romans says. You need to tell someone. In a little while, you'll hear Scott, my announcer, give you my telephone number. I want to invite you to call me, leave your confession of salvation on my voicemail, and when I get it, I will pray for you, and welcome to the family of God. You have not neglected so great salvation one. Now be filled with the Holy Spirit, salvation number two, sanctification, Amen. And then receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, salvation number three, and go forth and go and tell in Jesus' mighty
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I want to give a little seedling for healing, a healing seedling. If you're saved, really, if Jesus lives in you, he's the Word. And every word is inside of you. When you read the Bible, that word goes into you. And when you water that word by prayer and anointing, that word comes up. Everything really, if you're saved and sanctified and operating the gifts, everything you need is inside of you, because that word will bring forth what you need. I feel led to pray for the fear of COVID all over the world. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, all over this world, where people are so afraid of plague, so afraid of COVID and the other two variations there, oh, we speak to fear. Be gone in Jesus' name. Let's plant the seedling of healing of fear in your heart. God's not given me the spirit of fear. Everybody say it. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but of power,
of love,
of a sound mind.
I shall not die,
but live, and
declare the works of God.
Amen, amen, amen. All over the world we say, I agree in Jesus' name. Okay, nothing's given you to keep, so go and tell. You got a lot to go and tell. The Spirit of God is really moving. Let the Spirit of God fall over this world. Hallelujah. Your glory shine down in Jesus' mighty name. All of America and save America in Jesus' name. Well, this is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No greater love than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. He died for your sins. He arose from the dead. He's coming back again. To Jesus Christ be glory forever and ever and ever. I love you with all my heart. I can't wait till next time when you and I get together all over the world as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Woo, hallelujah. 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 God bless you, America. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth, inviting every Christian in America, right where you are, to please join me on Sunday, April 3rd, for America's Day of Repentance and Praise in view of 2 Chronicles 7:14. God's word is true, and he says, if my people call by my name, that's we, the Christian people of America, all 50 states, will humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, not his hand, but his face, and turn from our wicked ways, repent of our self-centeredness, our greed, our narcissism. God promises he will hear from heaven, he'll forgive our sins, and heal our land. He will heal America. I want to ask every Christian leader in America, wherever your platform is, pastors, politicians, radio, television, internet, social media, Christian organizations. Will you that day please, any time on that Sunday, April 3rd, gather your flock together and lead them to pray and then do 2 Chronicles 7:14. Call out the sins of the church by name. And I want to ask you then, after you repent with your flock there, wherever you are, your own platform there, please lead your congregation to praise, because Psalm 22 says God inhabits the praises of his people. I do ask you, please, don't make this a show. Don't let anybody get famous or advertise their agenda about this. Let's be humble here and meek about this. Prostrate, if possible, on the floor, metaphorically in sackcloth and ashes. You might want to wear red, white, and blue. I do encourage everybody all of America, wherever you are, to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then let's all sing the Star Spangled Banner, which is a national anthem for America, the national anthem for red, yellow, brown, black, and white. Now, if the Holy Spirit's nudging you to participate, you might want to let me know. So here's someone who can let you know. He's my prayer partner, my twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson. Take it away, Scott.
Yes, you can reach or contact Sherry at Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. That would be Shari Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Scott. God bless you, America. I love you with all my heart. Let's do this. Let's make America one nation under God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we all say, I agree in Jesus' name.
For listening Amen. To Trumpet Amen. Of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
the Trumpet very best of contemporary Truth. Christian music, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
You came to search and rescue, and love the Father sent you. Broke through the darkest night. You came to seek and save us. You came to liberate us. Jesus, you heard our cry. Jesus, you heard our cry. Where would we be without your love? We'd still be lost in darkness. Where would we be without your cross? You made a way to save us. Oh, your love, oh, your love. Thank you.
come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
bread of life. Together take the cup of salvation, the body and the blood of Christ. Holy communion. By his grace our God has freed us, in his mercy justified us. Now before the cross of Jesus, may our hearts be unified. Let us break the bread of life.
Precious Jesus.
Together take the cup of salvation. The body and the blood of Christ. Let us break the bread of life,
the bread of life.
Together take the cup of salvation,
the body and the blood,
the body and the blood of Christ.
Communion.
Let us break the bread of life,
the bread of life.
Together take the cup of salvation, the body and the blood of Christ.
Holy communion.
Holy communion.
Holy communion.
Holy communion.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, yes, you are good, good. Oh,
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Sometimes God has to let you get down long enough before he makes himself locatable.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about God's purpose behind our problems.
He wants to know that you want him and not just want his stuff.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When your only options are bad ones, and there doesn't seem to be any way out of the circumstances you're facing, Dr. Evans says God may have you exactly where he wants you. Why? Well, let's find out as we join him for today's lesson.
In 2 Chronicles 15, we're told in verse 3, for many days Israel was without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. Verse 5 says, in those times, there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in. For many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. It says there was no peace to him who went in or to him who came out. No peace means they were living in conflict. There was conflict. It says city rose up against city and nation rose up against nation. There was cultural conflict. We'll say city, urban conflict, racial conflict, community and police conflict, on and on in our cities where safety is a big issue, there's conflict. Then it says nation rose up against nation. International conflict. Right now, Washington can't get along with Washington. The Democrats and Republicans are at each other's throats. There is conflict. And it just subsides for a while, then it bounces back. On and on and on. Personal conflict, family conflict, cultural conflict, on and on and on and on and on. And many disturbances, it says, affected all the inhabitants of the land. You and I are affected by not only what's happening with us, but what happens to others that affect us. Many disturbances. That was the situation. But here's where it gets interesting. The end of verse 6 says, For God troubled them with their distresses. The end of verse 6. Now, wait a minute. I would have thought with all that chaos, it would have said the devil troubled them. I would have thought with all this confusion, verse 6 would end by saying the devil troubled them with every kind of distress, but it says God troubled them. So now we're going to mess with your thinking a little bit, because a lot of things you're blaming on the devil is God. There was no peace, the family disintegration, conflict, urban conflict, international conflict, and God says, if you're going to blame somebody, blame me. See, a lot of us are blaming the wrong person. Because here's how it works in the world. If God is your problem, only God is your solution. If God is the cause, only God is the cure. You say, but wait a minute. How can all this evil be given over to God? Because God uses the devil to carry out his dirty work. Because even the devil is not the devil. The devil is God's devil, because the devil can only do what God allows him to do. So even if the devil is messing with you, it's by divine permission. For God troubled them with every kind of distress. Let me put it another way. The spiritual always precedes the natural. The spiritual governs the natural. The heavenly determines the earthly. So if you have an issue on earth that has been caused by heaven, trying to solve it on earth is a waste of time. If it's an issue on earth caused by heaven, God troubled them, then you need heaven to come to earth to fix the issue on earth that heaven is responsible for, even if it's a problem because they were living in distress. What most people do is spend all their time on earth trying to fix earth when the problem didn't originate in earth or on earth. For God,